Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Sequoia, who is facilitating a very exciting upcoming workshop in the Bay Area on September 19th entitled Art and the Heart. Welcome, Sequoia.
Hi, Jen. I'm here.
Hey, good. Excellent. A good place to be.
Yes.
So, you know, we can't give it away, of course. I don't want to hear anything about the workshop itself, hopefully being a participant myself. So I thought maybe what we could look at is kind of what inspired you to offer it and where that comes from in your own practice.
Okay, great question. It's actually something I have been looking at for a while, what happens in the process of creativity and how it just really supports practice. And it's been actually been in my heart for quite a while to bring this and share it in the environment of practice. Because what I've discovered with it is that it is a very fun way to practice the process of listening to life and practice the process of there is nothing wrong and just practice the process of letting life express through us in the unique way that life expresses through each of us.
Oh, that's very fun. So in other words, if I'm following what you're saying, that so many of the fundamental things that we look at in practice, you know, letting life live us, that each of us is a unique expression of life, that so many of those things that we practice with, art has been a tangible way for you to practice those processes.
Absolutely, yes. It's been very tangible, and it's just been a great way for me to watch and experience that process and find out how I can bring that to every area of my life.
Oh, that's so good. Yeah.
And I suspect we all have doorways that work. Let's see, how to say it. Yeah, it's called to each of us. And
this just happens to be
a doorway that's really called to me.
Well, and you know, there are a couple things about that as you say that. One, how fun it is when, first of all, just the experience of discovering those doorways for ourselves, you know, because that place of, so for you, practicing with creativity is a doorway into practicing those practice processes. It's a lot of P's.
You did great.
And then, thank you. And then maybe I'll practice mine through alliteration. And then bringing those to the rest of your life. And so when someone finds that for themselves, how fun it is to then offer that, you know, so for you, creativity is a real doorway in, and that then becomes a way in which you can offer the unique way life expresses through you, not only the actual creativity, you know, whatever might come out of that, but also facilitating a practice process around that.
Yes. No, very well stated. That's what's so exciting about it, you know, to just find a way that to offer practice. And like in a way that just really suits this being.
Yeah, and so, you know, if you say that, Sequoia, it's so fun because there are so many ways to offer practice, aren't there? So many ways.
There are.
So many different contents. So, I mean, we just finished a class on sex and money, and, you know, they're all different sort of windows in. They're all looking at the same thing. But there's so many windows in, and we're so lucky to have a sangha that's, well, I mean, I suppose you put any group of people together and you're going to have all of the different ways that life expresses itself represented. But what makes it so lucky is that we're in a sangha where we're all so supported to not compare ourselves and to actually fully find that courage and that joy of expressing what comes through this human. And that when we do that, it's a gift, I mean, huge gift to that person, but also a gift to the whole Sangha.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just, it's, you know, and we've talked about this before, it's like, you know, just finding what lights us up and to know that's not a mistake, you know, that it that's the place, that's the place to go. And and because conditioned mind would just have us believe that, you know, or at least it's done this to me, well, there's just one way and it's not the way that, you know, lights me up.
And yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's just so wrong.
Yeah, it's so wrong. And, you know, I think that we have a set of the Zen quote cards that you can buy on Sangha Market, I believe. We have a set in the dining hall, and I think the one that's up today is the one that says something like, conditioning will torture you with what you'll believe.
Yeah.
So as you were saying that, I suspect that for each of us, the way that it says to me that it should be is, of course, coincidentally, the way that I struggle with the most, you know.
Yeah.
So it completely hides, it hides from each of us what is authentically coming through this person and points us in the wrong direction always, you know. And, you know, Sukhoi, the thing that I love about it, too, is that for a lot of people, I, it seems to me, creativity is a challenge. You know, because we have so much childhood conditioning around, well, you're not an artist. You're, you know, that doesn't look like a dog. You know, and so to have an opportunity to go up against that, you know, so maybe there's one person in the Sangha for whom spreadsheets are just fun and exciting and interesting, and you know, they can bring that to the party. And then for you, you've really found a way to practice with creativity, and what a gift to offer that, because there are so many people for whom that's such a big challenge, and that's a place where the voices can really take over. So instead of just believing, well, okay, I won't sign up for that because I'm not a creative person and I hate that stuff, boy, it's an opportunity to sign up because the voices are at us about it, and to find out how joyful it is to not have to, quote, be good at it in order to have fun with it.
I'm so glad you said that. I mean, that exact was what was arising for me. It's probably when we hear that, I'm not good at it, or I, you know, I hate that, it's probably time to sign up. Because, you know, it's true. I mean, I think we can all remember that time when we, you know, little kids, when there was that joy of just creating until, you know, someone said, dogs aren't blue, you know. And to just have the opportunity to go back to that, practice going back to that place and reclaiming that joy that was present. There's just nothing better. You certainly don't have to have any skill. This is a great practice in beginner's mind. Yes.
Oh, good. Yeah, because, you know, as you say that, I mean, if you've spent any time with any child, you know, young child, sort of before they've really gotten it beaten out of them, every single one of them is creative just by nature.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. I mean, we just are. Yeah. We're constantly creating. We don't see it that way, but, you know, cooking, picking out our outfits in the morning, you know, I mean, it's all creating. What color are we paint our toenails?
which is why we're so attracted to those, to children, to be around that, you know, so close to life, so close to that expression of creativity.
Without any ideas of, you know, it's something's going to come out of it, or I'm getting, you know, I'm headed somewhere, or you know, just playing in the sand and all the different shapes you can make and the forms and the...
I don't think there's any thought at all of, you know, gee, I wonder if this will look good in the living room, or or if someone would be interested in purchasing this, or, you know. just to go back before that started to be, you know, the focus. So
And I realize, gosh, we're almost out of time, but just one more thing I wanted to ask about it is I imagine that, at least this is my experience, so I'll just project this, that in using the creative process for practice, it gives us different avenues in that often invite us out of the head and into our actual tactile experience.
Yes. That is one of the big gifts. It doesn't work. You know immediately if you've gone to conditioned mind.
Right.
You just know, right. You know. So it is, it's just such a valuable tool in that way. It just flat out doesn't work. It only works when one stays with life, with the heart, with that inspiration. So to just practice that, it's wonderful.
Yeah, and kind of brings us into the spirit of inquiry with it. So we get immediate feedback. Oh, okay, conditioning's here. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Okay, where do we want to go now?
there was the energy. I just felt it, you know, go flat.
Yeah.
So, you know,
just
to see that and to turn to where the energy starts to flow again. It's really fun.
That's so good. Well, I feel moved to say thank you to you and to everyone in Sangha who does the work that allows the human to come forth and be the contribution that they are for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
That's a gift.
Yes. It is such a gift. It really, I am with you there in thanking everyone. It just opens the door for all of us. So thank you.
It really does. Well, thank you for opening the door for us in the Bay Area on September 19th. I'll bet you anything it's on Michael's announcement list. So.
Okay. All right,
all right,
Jen. Thanks.
Thanks, Victoria. Thanks for being with us. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Okay, great. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Sequoia. And yes, Jen, it is on my list here, so you'll hear about it again.
Excellent. Thank you.
Okay. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
How are you?
Art. Good.
Art.
Good. I like that. I like that conversation a lot. I was thinking about, as I was listening to it, I was just kind of dropping in different people and different gifts and that creativity and how various people express the uniqueness that they are. And one of the things that I was thinking about is that Jen, I mean, we know, anybody who's been to the monastery has a sense of Sequoia as her love of art and design and that sort of thing. And Jen has her unique expression, I would say, through facilitation. And we don't often think of that as the same sort of expression, but it is. It's a unique gift. We could say it's an art.
Yes. Yes, exactly. I was having the same experience myself, thinking of the different ways that creativity is expressed. It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You, for instance, are host of a radio show.
Yes. Among other skills that we all practice. That's
among
one of
other
them. Yeah.
things that you express, but that's one of them that many of us are familiar with.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Other things that you do are a mystery to us, but that one I know. And they shall remain that way, right?
Thanks to the privileged environment.
Right. So what is on our agenda coming up?
Okay. What's coming up is a great way to train to live in this here now is to go outside for a walk in nature and feel the connection with all that is. The new Walking with the Mentor group coaching, which begins October 7th, will help participants create a kind and compassionate walking program designed just for themselves.
Wow. Love that.
Yes, and for more information, visit sanghamarket.com. And participants in the new Talk and Tell Recording and Listening Intensive will practice and strengthen the skill of redirecting the attention to this here now. The two-week session begins September 14th, so sign up today.
Great.
And as we
That's
just
lovely.
Heard, yes, yeah, I think it's going to be great. Mm-hmm. And as we just heard from Jan and Sequoia, Sequoia will lead a workshop on art and the heart at Saturday, September 19th in Los Altos, California, which is in the San Francisco Bay Area.
Mm-hmm.
And as they were so eloquently talking about, the workshop will explore creating without goals and expression through the sheer joy of participation.
Something for everybody. We can all do that, right? If we have to create
yes.
great art, then that's a little bit more challenging. But that wholehearted participation and showing up and having fun, gosh, that's
yes.
what we could all do.
Yes, yes, mm-hmm. exactly. And Reflective Listening Buddies offers connection with Sangha in a privileged environment and weekly support for conscious, compassionate awareness practice. And the next quarter begins October 15th.
All right.
Yes. And so for these and all other opportunities, visit schedule.livingcompassion.org.
Well, and let me ask you this, Michael. Are we still having a bridge walk?
Oh, my goodness. Are we ever? Saturday, October 3rd. Yeah, it's like the biggest announcement, and yeah. It
and it's not on your list. Oh, we got to
yeah.
fire those people. so, yeah, and the reason that I'm so thinking about this is that I just saw, I don't know when it came out, actually, but I saw the next iteration of the, well, I guess that's not the right word exactly because it's already been created, but of the T-shirt.
Wow.
Did you see that? The latest picture
no.
of the T-shirt?
No, I would
oh,
love to.
Yeah. It's good. And so I actually, when I got back from retreat in Pennsylvania, I had two giant inspirations. One was to sign up for the bridge walk and order the T-shirts because I was a little nervous that my family and I would be the only ones there without T-shirts, which would be embarrassing. And the second thing was to get onto the website and mark my practices, my high five. Is that what it is? High five? Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
You know, I've been keeping my five a day. I was asking, actually, can you write down more if you've done more? Because sometimes I get very excited about that sort of thing. But my five a day, and so I wanted to go on the website and put those up. So I just want to remind everybody about that because we've got a long ways to go, actually, to get to our goal on our practices. Now, of course, we're hardly into September at all, so if anybody feels like, well, I'm kind of late to the party, it's not too late. We just make up our list of commitments and then we get on there and chalk them up and reach our goal. And I don't know how much longer we have to register for the bridge walk so we get fed and to get our T-shirt, but somebody must know. Maybe you know. I don't know. But anyway.
Yeah, I think I saw an email, but I don't recall.
Yeah. Yeah, good not to postpone it too much longer if you want one of those gorgeous T-shirts.
Yes, and I think we're coming up to some crazy number like 13th bridge walk or something like that. Many
yeah,
years.
It's a bunch. It's a bunch.
Yeah.
You know, 1,000 kids, they're eating every day and going to school. It's just,
yes.
You know, I mean, it's such a pleasure to go to that website if nothing else happens, you know, just to see those kids with their little hands up in the air. They are the cutest things. Oh, gosh, I guess all little kids are that cute, but they seem to have found a particularly cute collection there for that website. So, yeah, I hope people won't forget. And as it says, you know, even if you can't make it to the bridge walk, you can get a T-shirt and be with us in spirit and do a fundraiser. I'll just tell you this since I'm wound up about the bridge walk. So last year when we did the 10,000 steps. I so love that. I never stopped. So I've been counting all of my charting and counting all my steps through this year, and that's going to be my my fundraiser, is to pay myself basically for having, you know, walked all of those steps. My reward will be to figure out the amount of money for that and be able to give it to the project. And so anyway, I just hope everybody will decide what works for them and how they can participate and do that, because as was pointed out with the art and heart workshop, you know, it's that wholehearted participation that makes all the difference for us. So that's my little plug for the Bridge Walk.
Perfect. And I have just received information that the 10th is the final day to register to get a T-shirt.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's day after tomorrow, right?
That's 2 days away. That's Thursday the 10th.
Woo. Okay. All right, good. So good. I hope people will listen, hear this, and they'll hop on there and sign up and not miss their opportunity.
Yes.
All right.
Yes. And the opportunity in this moment is to talk with you, Sherry. And if you'd like to make a show to talk with Sherry, press *6 and then 1. And a reminder to focus on one topic, please, in 5 minutes or so.
One topic, and try to keep me to 5 minutes, right? That's how it goes?
Yes.
All right. Okay, thanks, Michael.
Sure. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, my name is Jessica. I'm from Boston.
Hi, Jessica.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you? Is this your first time calling?
This is my first time calling. It's been fun to watch what conditioning has done while I've been waiting.
Uh-huh. Like threatening a heart attack or something like that?
Yes, totally.
Uh-huh.
Excitement, fear, I wasn't in the queue, the whole bit.
Uh-huh. Well, great to have you with us. What's going on?
Well, I wasn't sure what to call and ask, but I'm like, let me just call. I went to the There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat in July, which was just incredible. Gosh, oh, to you and all of the guys who ran it. It was really brilliant. And I've been doing some Zen coaching. And
good.
Yes, it is good. And so kind of what I'm working on right now is sort of my conditioning around romantic relationships. And two calls ago, I heard you talking with someone who was sharing her sort of conditioning around relationships, and you mentioned this fear book that you wrote and sort of that process of, you know, if you're afraid of heights, and you encouraged her to sort of go in the building, if you will. And so I've been practicing that. And it's been helpful, but I'm finding, one thing I'm noticing is that, so I'm noticing the conditioning, I'm doing process maps, and I think what's happening is I'm sort of beating myself up a little bit when I'm noticing myself in the process. So I'm like stopping and recording and listening and this and that, but there's also this piece that's like, oh, you just can't do this, or, you know, there you go again.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, may I? Now, first
Please.
Of all, as you know, you're not beating you up. Conditioning is beating you up.
Yes,
right?
Thank you.
And and the bottom line of all of the stuff that conditioning does with people, it ends in two things. The first thing it ends in is, why don't you just quit? Or you should just quit. Or you better quit. You're not good at this. You can't do this. And so you should just quit. And believe it or not, maybe you've already heard this, if you are not willing to quit, it will begin to encourage you to kill yourself.
Mm.
Okay? So that's its program. That's its program. And as you know, it's a process. One of the big ways that conditioning controls people is by beating us up when we become aware of something that it is doing. Okay, so a very simple kind of thing. A person decides they're not going to eat sugar. The voices talk them into it, and it's a campaign, you know, oh, wouldn't that be good? Oh, but you've been so, and just this once, and it would be, and that. So talks the person into it, and then beats the person up for having done it. Okay? Yeah. Now, if the person is completely unconscious, they get talked into eating the sugar, they don't even realize they've done it. Okay? Then they're brought to conscious awareness and beaten up for having done it and told that they should quit trying to be aware because, see, you can't do this. You're a failure. It's never going to work. So awareness practice is getting past all of that through all of those landmines so that all that we're doing is watching what it does. No standards, no expectations, no assumptions. We're just watching how it does it.
Okay.
So So every time you see something, even if you see something that you're doing that you know is not skillful, right?
Right.
You know, you just done something that's like, oh my God, I can't believe I just did that. You saw it. That's where you get the big gold stars.
Yeah.
You're aware of it. You saw it. You got it. Don't allow it to beat you up for anything that you become aware of, because this is awareness practice, and we are practicing becoming aware of everything, especially what that system is doing to us.
It sounds so simple when you say it.
Yes. And then truly, when you get into it, it is like you're in a field of landmines.
Yeah.
Right? And somebody could say, you know, there are only 35 of them in this whole field. Okay, well, that's really comforting. But you only need to step on one.
Right.
And you don't know where that one is, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Yes. It is really simple. Thank God. It actually is really simple.
Yeah.
But getting through all of this stuff that prevents us from living in that simplicity is a full-time job.
Well, that's sort of this comforting reassurance that this is all normal.
Oh, it's completely normal. It is, you know, we, honest to God, it's I keep saying to people, it's science. It's textbook. We are completely interchangeable. You know, you are every person. I am every person. Everybody who has attempted to get out of this mess goes through exactly the same steps. Here's exactly the same voices, get threatened with exactly the same threats. It's all, you know, it's scripted. And the only reason that we struggle so much is that we have such heavy conditioning that, no, you're the only one. They're all fine. You're
right.
The only one. And you can't say anything about it. You can't admit it. You can't talk about it because then they'll all find out how really messed up you are. So just keep your mouth shut and pretend like none of this is happening. Go home and suffer by yourself.
Yeah.
Right? But as soon as we start admitting it, then the cat, she is out of the bag. Uh-huh.
Right. Yeah, there's this sort of feeling of, or part of me that feels like, you know, talking about it is like, oh, I sound like I, you know, I'm losing my mind, you know, that expression.
Yes.
And then there's this other piece, you know, so I can't share that with anyone because I sound like I don't have a grip on reality. And then there's this other piece of not, I think there's part of the conditioning that sort of makes you feel like there's this end point you're trying to get to. Like, eventually with relationships, you're not going to feel this, but you're still feeling it, so you're kind of useless or worthless or whatever comes up for me or anybody else.
Yes. So one of the things that we're looking at a lot in practice, we just did the sex and money thing, and there's a lot of focus right now on money because people talk about some messed up karma. Okay. So you're relatively you're young. Let's face it. And and so if you wanted to have enough money. I'm guessing you don't come from a filthy rich family, so if you do, don't say anything and pretend like this is a good example, okay? If you want to have enough money that you can, you only work because you want to. You work at something that you love doing. You don't need to do it for the money. You have all of the freedom about choices that you want. That's not going to happen by next month. That's not going to happen by next year. That's not going to happen in 10 years, okay? But what's going to happen over those periods of time is that you are getting closer and closer and closer to your goal, if you will, okay? Same thing with this. You're not probably, unless you're really, really lucky, you're not going to wind up in the relationship of your dreams next week, next year. Maybe not 5 years, maybe not 10 years. But with each relationship that you have, you will be seeing more, becoming more aware, more conscious, more committed to waking up. You'll become a kinder, more understanding, more compassionate human being. And your relationships, all your relationships, because it's not just romantic or intimate relationship, it's all of our relationships, they're all going to be getting better and better and better and better.
Yeah, that's beautiful. It's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's not about that. And this is the only other thing I would offer you about this. From ego's perspective, it's all about me. Okay. It's about me. Now, it implies that it wants you to be successful, but it doesn't. You know, it wants to be the center of your universe, but it's all about me. With awareness practice, it's not. Increasingly, it is all about us. And so what happens as you go through each of these points of understanding and clarity, as your understanding deepens and broadens, you become more and more helpful. Okay? So when you're around people, you don't give messages of, I'm pretty sure you're losing your mind, or you don't have a grip on reality, if the person is questioning conditioning. Right? In fact, you're open to talking to these people and reassuring them that all that happened is they're waking up to what's going on. There's nothing wrong with them. Right? But unless you've taken those steps yourself, you can't actually reassure anybody else. So the folks who did the There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat with you, you could tell being around them that they have walked this path, right? They've taken these steps. When they say something, they're saying it to you because they know where you are, because they know that place in themselves. Yeah. So if they if they had been able to just transport themselves from complete ignorance to absolute enlightenment, there would have been nobody there to help you take those steps when you were ready to take them.
Well, that's I like that way of thinking about it, or feeling it, rather.
Yep. So, you know, you love tennis, or you love soccer, or you love chess, or whatever it is. You really love it. You love it. You practice it. You get really good. You're really, really good at it. Probably one of the things that you're going to want to do at some point is mentor, coach other people, probably young people, to love your sport, your interest, the way you do. You're going to want to be there to support them in their journey because you love the journey.
Yeah. Thank you. That's really good stuff.
And the thing about it is, you know, a lot of the world would help you to believe you're losing your mind, losing your grip on reality, which
right.
is an argument for staying around Sangha. Stay in conversation with other people who are also waking up, and you won't feel nearly as crazy.
Well, and that's the good news. You guys have something new every moment. It's miraculous to see and see all the new things you're doing and offerings you have, and I'm loving it. I am loving this intense roller coaster that is, you know, simultaneously thrilling and beautiful and really scary.
Terrifying.
It's really terrifying, but I love it, and so I keep coming back and signing up for more things. So thank you to all of
you for
offering
it. One other thing about it is, yes, it's a roller coaster ride, and yes, it can be terrifying, but by God, aren't you alive?
Yeah,
don't you feel really alive in this process? Instead of, I bet when you look around, you can see people, even people your age, who are in a process of becoming deader every day.
Yeah, in ways I feel more alive than I have in a long time. So,
yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep. All right.
Okay, well, I'll keep practicing. Gasho.
Gasho to you. Stay in touch.
I will. Thank you.
Okay. Good
Bye.
Night.
Thanks for joining us, Jessica. And Sherry, we're going to hear from our sponsor, and then we'll be right back.
All right.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful heart?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart. And one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air, and we have more callers here, Sherry.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi. It's Anne calling.
Who is it?
It's Anne from New York. I've been listening to Open Air forever, like 5 years. I've never actually called in to Open Air. I used to call in for the other shows that you had, but not Open Air. So this is my first time calling Open Air.
Well, welcome. We're very, very glad to have you with us. What's going on?
Me too. Well, I have this thing, but what you were just talking about with the other person just really kind of resonated. But what the thing was I was calling about was over the last year, I've been doing a lot of awareness practice around how conditioning had me really being kind of a bully. And I would often withhold as being, you know, I would be listening to conditioning saying, okay, well, you're just going to leave the situation and you're going to tell the person, but then I wouldn't leave and then I would back and forth. And so the last year, I've really been focusing on being aware of the feelings that come up when I start to listen to conditioning telling me to do that. And I really feel like I have not been listening to it. However, a friend of mine seems to need to reach back and remind me of how I used to do that. And I'm really struggling. I'm not really struggling. I'm at peace that I know that I've been practicing awareness, and I'm not here to convince the other person, but it, I feel like,
let me ask you this.
I'm trying to say, I don't feel like I'm connecting with the person any longer because they need to remind me how I would bully them.
Okay, can I ask you a question about that?
Yes.
Okay. So have you asked this person what you can do at this point to put that in the past?
Not that simply, no.
Because you know that might be helpful to just say, I'm aware of that that activity, that way I was, or that behavior, or however you want to talk about it.
Right.
I am aware that I was that way, and I'm working really hard to change those behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
And so, how can I'm aware that that happened. I really wish it hadn't. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. But the fact of the matter is, I really can't do anything about what happened in the past. So what might we do now to move that into the past and get current in our relationship? Now, when you do that, you want to be prepared for anything.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, because we have no idea what this person is going to respond.
Right.
But I think it's really important to bring the whole thing into conscious awareness. He probably isn't aware of reminding you in that way, is not conscious of the motivation for doing that. Because, if I were asked what can I do now, that would cause me to have to look at, well, what am I doing and what is my motivation for continuing to drag something into the present that doesn't exist here?
Yeah, I said we kind of had a conversation similar to that, but not as, I'm going to listen back to the show, but not as clearly as you stated, like, I'm aware that I was doing that. What can I do now that we can get through this? Because I'm really trying to shed that.
I need to put this in the past. And I'm happy to be supported in seeing if I'm doing it currently.
Oh, yeah.
But if it's something from the past, I really can't fix that. And it doesn't help me to be reminded of it. Yeah. Now, if we want to get terribly psychological about this, which sometimes we do like to do, right?
No.
So you and I are in a relationship, and we've got our dynamic. We've got our deal that we do.
Yeah.
And and then you start to change. And I get really nervous that this change is going to take you away from our relationship. Because if you're different, then maybe you're not going to like me any longer. Maybe you don't want to be my friend any longer. And so I might want to try to keep our friendship back in the day as a way of making sure we're relating now.
Could you just track back a little bit about the relating now? I was up with you up until then. You mean because, let me actually ask you. Could you I don't feel like I'm connecting with that.
So there's a couple.
Yeah.
And they relate through bickering. You know, they just at each other. That's their relationship. And then one side of the relationship decides, you know, this is not working. I don't want to do that any longer. So they go to therapy, they read books, they start Zen awareness practice, they get a coach, whatever it is that they do. And they stop bickering. The other person is going to be really threatened. And what they're going to do, they're not going to automatically conclude, you know, I think I want to quit bickering too, and we'll just step into a new way of being together. What they're actually going to do is escalate the bickering, trying to draw that other person back into the way we are.
Okay, I'm connecting, I guess. Sometimes that will happen in relationship, and I just say, I don't want to continue this conversation. I have nothing more to say. And then, I guess, to follow your example there, then the other person who's used to the routine tries to bring me in and says, well, you're just not wanting to engage with me. You can't just end the conversation like that. I'm like, yeah, but I don't need to have a conversation like that anymore.
That's right.
Poke around different ways to try to engage me in that conversation that I don't want to have. And then end up usually just walking away, but then a part of me kind of feels a little like, oh, well, maybe there's some truth to it, but I don't know. I kind of laugh now is sort of what my reaction is. I mean, not in a mean way, but like, I don't know what else to say. I have to laugh. I have nothing else. This is it.
One of the things that can be things that can be helpful in this is to learn some facilitation skills so that you can reflect the other person, draw them out, really listen, really hear what the other person has to say. And in that way, increase your chances of moving the relationship into this new territory. So instead of person picks at you, you react, then you back and forth. If you just become the listener, the reflector, the understanding person, first of all, it takes the wind right out of that other person's sails, right? It's hard to fight with somebody who is just reflecting you. In that way, you just might be able to move the relationship. Now you have a different way of relating, right?
I have a different, I'm practicing a different way of relating.
That's right.
Now
you can be interacting in this new way. And maybe the other person will want to come along with you. You know, sometimes when we change, people in our lives don't want to change with us. And so relationships do fall away because we just don't have that much in common anymore.
Right. I see. Thank you. Thank you. Yes.
Try it and try it and let us know, okay?
I will. I will definitely call in again.
Report back.
I shall. Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you,
Sherry. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome.
Okay, good night.
Okay, good night.
Thank you for joining us, Anne. You're listening to Open Air. And we have more callers here, Sherry.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Laura from California.
Hello, Laura.
Hello.
What's going on with you?
Well, just now I had called in and then got kicked off, and so I was watching my whole process around. I was feeling very angry because I got cut off when somebody else called me, and so I was feeling very angry at the person. I was like, why is this person calling me? Jeez.
And then we realized, they don't.
Yeah, and then I realized, oh, it's my birthday. They're calling me to wish me happy birthday.
The devil. Happy birthday.
that was the workshop I was just going through. So I'm pleased to actually be on the call. That's good. I'm normally working during open air, but I thought this would be a good birthday present to myself to take off work and be able to call in. And one of the things dropped in the other day that I was like, I'd really like to get some support around this. And so and one of the things dropped in was to call open air. So here I am, which is that I recently ended a relationship and am, you know, starting to kind of get back into dating a little bit. And kind of my first experience with that was last week, and just watched kind of all the old conditioning and all the old processes coming up. And it was kind of like, wow, I don't want dating to be like this. I don't want to kind of be in conditioning version of dating. And what dropped in was to bring it into practice and look at how, because I think that I kind of had sort of a vision of what would it look like if I was more supported in this, or, you know, just how can I kind of bring that into practice a little bit more.
Uh-huh. And so you want to say a little bit about what happens and what you would how you would like to be different and that sort of thing?
Sure. Yeah. And I realized it's actually the same process that I looked at my very first retreat, my first There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat. So I listened back to the recording of that the other day, which is that I'll, you know, meet someone and then conditioning just that's all it wants to think about. And then it goes back into this big duality of like, you guys are going to get married and it's true love and this is the most wonderful thing. And then it's like, no, but he's probably, you know, all the, you know, it's just like tennis match back and forth. And and then there's sort of the beating up of like, as you were kind of saying with the previous caller, like, beating me up for what it's doing to me. Think, how, you know, why are you so obsessed with this?
Right, get you to obsess and beat you up for being obsessed. Right, perfect,
yeah.
Huh?
And then it as often happens in dating, if something doesn't work out, then, you know, someone just feels crushed and terrible, and but it just feels kind of like a, like the word that was kind of was like it's just like this emotional roller. It's like a emotional roller coaster, and it's sort of this like energy meal for conditioning.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Well, now let me ask you this. How would you like a relationship to be?
Yeah, something probably that gave me energy rather than took it away. And one where I can just be present, I think.
And so a relationship in which you can be present, something that is in your life that gives you energy rather than taking energy, probably doesn't involve thinking about the future.
Yep. That is true.
That would be a big one, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Which, of course, is why it wants you to do that. Because that's ego's territory, right? The future. And then, of course, it'll take you back to the past and how you failed at relationships in the past. And so this one will probably fail too. But maybe not. Maybe this is different and this time it'll be wonderful. And yeah, but probably not because he's this and this and this and this. Yeah?
Yeah, that sounds very familiar.
Yes, it's amazing how people can do that, huh? I wonder how I know that. So to use that as a reminder. Now, of course, where we stumble is when we're identified with ego, it's fun to do that process. So, of course, ego loves to fantasize about the future. And then fall into the drama of the soap opera of, oh, but what if it doesn't work? And right? And so for you, your job then is to stay focused on, well, actually what I want in a relationship is to have something that's energizing for me, something that helps me to be more present. And so are there qualities too that that go with that, you know, loving, compassionate, kind, any of that sort of thing?
Yeah, well, I was actually, that was something that the facilitator asked me way back at my first retreat about, you know, what do you want in a relationship? And I realized, you know, because I said so many things like, you know, someone to support and be supported by, to have a connection with. And I was realizing that a lot of that is stuff that I've sort of, I feel like I have that in my life kind of with the mentor and with, you know, that I've, yeah. I don't know if that was what you were getting at, but yeah. That was
well, yeah, I want to know how you want to be.
Yeah.
That's basically what I'm asking you. How do you want to be in a relationship? You want to be present.
Yeah, I think loving and feeling seen and appreciated and.
Okay, now this is shaky. Okay, we've just now slipped into shaky territory because you can. Here's what you can do. You can be loving.
Mm-hmm.
You can be appreciative. You can be. I don't know what the, you can see someone.
Mm-hmm.
But having being seen or being appreciated as one of the components, that's not even a slippery slope. That's just a straight shot to hell. Yeah? Because conditioning, because it is so conditional. And no matter who you get and what this person brings to the relationship, conditioning can always say, well, but, you know, he doesn't really see you. He doesn't really get you. He doesn't really, and really is the word, right? He doesn't really appreciate you. So he could appreciate you 9 times out of 10, but that 10th time, conditioning is going to come in. So what we want to do in relationship is focus on how we want to be, not on what we want to get. Because how we are is what we will get.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So if you're loving, it actually doesn't matter what the other person is doing. And it doesn't matter whether you're right for each other. So you could date somebody for 6 months and be just as loving as you can be, and then it doesn't work out, and you can still be completely loving.
Yeah,
you know,
I think
it's conditioning.
Go ahead. I was just saying that because that was sort of what conditioning was kind of saying as you were saying, but, well, you can, you know, be loving, but it doesn't matter if you're, you know, go out on a date with somebody and doesn't, you know, and they're not right for you, but it's not really true. I mean, and I've seen that in my own experience, but
it's not true at all. You can be an unconditionally loving person in every circumstance. It's not dependent upon the other person or how they are, or how they feel or anything else, which is true freedom, right?
Yeah. No, that feels like a really good focus to be able to go into something like, how do I want to be, rather than, are we going to work out? Is he right? Is he, you know?
That's right. Yes, I want to be unconditionally loving. And if this is the right person, then great, that'll happen. And if we wind up married, then we'll wind up married. Somebody said to me once, they had this thing about relationship, and if we're together 20 years from now, well, then we'll be together 20 years from now. That's it. There's no plan.
Yep.
It's just one day we'll realize, wow, we've been together for 20 years, which is a completely different orientation, isn't it?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thank you.
Well, you're so welcome. And and happy birthday, and just enjoy being your unconditionally loving self.
Oh, well, thank you. Very good night.
Good night, Laura.
Thanks for joining us, and happy birthday, Laura. That was fun, Sherry. And I think we have time for another conversation here.
I think so.
Okay, here we go. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Quiet. Hello, Sherry and Michael. This is Chris.
Hey, Chris.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm doing interestingly. I've been I've been doing my darndest to not think about what I was going to talk about if I got on, and just been up and down and all over and fascinating. And there's something I've seen, sort of, and at least tangentially or partly, and I'll start talking and hopefully it'll come out. It almost feels like I'm growing up. You know, I read somewhere a zillion years ago that, who knows if it's true, it's just somebody's opinion that people don't actually fully, you know, mature until their parents die. And my mom passed away in April, and then there's just been a lot of, even in the last year and a half, there's a lot of stress and stuff and things going on, and now I'm doing the single dad thing for a month, and it seems like there's just a bunch of stuff that's popping up that requires me to behave in an adult manner and do things that need to get done, and not in a you got to do this or you're bad, but just the car needs a brake light, swing by the place and get a new brake light and other things. And it just seems like I'm being sort of required to step up in the way that I know I'm capable of doing.
Yes. Yes. And I would say it, Chris, you're being asked to step up, and you're finding that not only are you willing to step up, but you want to.
Yes.
Because required has a little, to me, has a little tone of, it's not really your choice somehow, or something is kind of making you. It's requiring you. Where actually, it's all your choice.
That's right. I've been given
to
the
step up.
Yeah, I've been given the opportunity to step up.
Yeah. Yes. And you want to.
Yeah, I do.
And
this is also, there's a lot of body sensations traditionally interpreted as anxiety. I'm getting a lot of that, and I'm working with my coach on that. Just yesterday, I woke up, you know, early, as I've been doing lately, and what I noticed was the anxiety came in immediately, and then conditioning is searching for something to stick on it, and then go into the head and think about it continuously. And anyway, I just saw that whole process of how the body sensation was there first before anything else.
Right. Helpful to see?
Yes.
Isn't that, I mean, that's huge, isn't it?
It felt like it. Which is not to say that I don't experience a body sensation anymore. It's that it's been there all day today, but my relationship with it is feels different.
Yes. You can call it excitement. You can call it energy. You can call it, more life force than a person can deal with. Whoops, hang on. Just choking to death over here, boss. You can call it anything that works for you, but you don't have to call it anxiety because that's what works for ego.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and there's just I don't know what I want to say right now. Just that it's there's multiple opportunities with work and things outside of work and home and school and soccer and the schedules and things and awareness practice all wrapped into this life right now, and I'm up for it, even though I'm
yes.
Someone's the conditioning is trying to get me to think that I'm not, but
yes,
I am.
Yes, and again, I'm going to say that energy that gets called anxiety. You know, you wake up early mm-hmm. in the morning. And you've got a ton of energy. Okay. Now, a lot of that is in the third chakra, which is where people feel anxiety. But a ton of that's the will center, right? That's the do center, the willingness, we call it in our practice center. So you got a ton of energy in there. And that energy is available for you to use to do what you are called to do, what you want to do with your life. It's yours.
That's why I've been waking up early. I mean, at a yes. time before my alarm goes off.
Yes. Yes. In my experience, if you keep using that energy for yourself, if you don't let it get folded into the conversation and start feeding ego, that energy is sustained. It just builds.
Is the third chakra like, where is that
solar plexus?
Okay, yeah, that's the one.
That's the one. Yeah. It's the one that people drink coffee for because that's where they, you know, feel the energy. People try to eat sugar to activate it even more. Of course, that doesn't work. Neither of those work because you get the hit and then you get the depression that follows it. But if you just leave that energy alone and just keep using it. Keep coming up with new ways to use it. Add dancing, add singing. Make sure there's a spring in your step. Let that energy feel really good in your body. Have it for yourself, and it'll just keep growing.
Okay. That's really interesting. This is probably conditioning talking, but the first yeah, but that comes up. So definitely this conditioning is that I'm so conditioned to feel that energy, feel that body sensation in a way that is called anxiety and doesn't feel good. It'll be an interesting transition to
yes.
Feel it to take it in a different way.
Yes. And the first step, at least for me, is to relabel it. It's excitement. It's yeah. life force. It's right. energy. Woo! Got a lot of energy there. And then actively pursue moving it through your body. Breathe it. Breathe into that. And then breathe it through your body. Say yes. You know, jump. Jump up in the air and say yes. And begin to volitionally move the energy through the body. It's will, it's willingness, it's do power. And you need to change the conversation that goes with the label. So if it's anxiety, then it's, oh God, and there's too much to do and it's completely overwhelming. I'm never going to get it all done and I'm exhausted. Okay? And their ego just took all of your energy. But if it's excitement, mm-hmm. if it's anticipation, enthusiasm, got a lot of stuff going on, have a big life, going to do this and this and this and this, going to, and don't forget to add the fun stuff, right? I'm going to do this that I enjoy and that I enjoy and that'll be fun and I'm looking forward to that. And you can just feel the energy flow through the body.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yes. In fact, speaking of fun stuff, there's been a burn ban in Washington State for months, and it's the first of its kind. Most burn bans allow people to have a cook fire or something. This has been a zero fire at all, Camp Burma. Anyway, they just rescinded it for our side of the state, so we get to inaugurate our new fire pit tonight.
Oh, good. Yeah, you got a little water up there finally, huh?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, yeah. All right, well, have fun.
Yeah, I will. I'm going to have fun. And
have fun. Yeah, that's the name of the game.
Well, thank you very much, Sherry. This has been great. I'm going to go.
You are so welcome. Talk to you soon.
Yes. Good night.
All right.
Good night,
good night, Chris.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Chris. Another great conversation, and we are smack at 6 p.m., Sherry.
Oh, my gosh, we're good, aren't we?
Right.
Now, I don't know about you, but I have a lot of things that I'm excited about for the rest of the day. So I'm going to take all of that energy that is that could be backed up there in that third chakra and going to get it moving through the body and go on having fun and enjoying life. How about you?
Wonderful. That's a great homework assignment for all of us.
Isn't it? Let's do that. Let's all do that. Okay.
Let's all do that,
Sounds good.
We can report in next week.
There you go. Help us remember, okay?
Thank you. Thank you,
Sherry. All right. Thanks, Michael. Good night.
Good night.